This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Thanks for streaming WSOY on NowDecatur.com. This stream is presented by Hickory Point Bank, Invested. Their investment in Decatur is an investment in everyone who calls Decatur home.
Emergency preparedness open house for media and local organizations at its Decatur Training Center yesterday. Participants toured the facility and were given a look at how the Ameren team prepares for and responds to other utility emergencies. Check out NowDecatur.com for more. The state is making more headway in paying down its unemployment insurance loan. A federal loan was taken out to help meet the huge demand for unemployment benefits during the pandemic. The state will be putting $450 million toward that debt. A $2.7 billion payment was made earlier this year using American Rescue Plan funds. The Decatur area may wake up to temperatures in the 30s once again tomorrow morning. There is a gradual warm-up coming, highs predicted to be in the 70s by the weekend. For more stories, podcasts, and videos, visit our website, nowdecatur.com.
Ian keeps getting bigger and stronger. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. In the past 3 hours, it's gone from a Category 3 hurricane to almost a Cat 5. Ian sustains winds have skyrocketed from 120 miles an hour to 155.
Here's what we know. Devastating storm surge, rain, wind will impact the west coast of Florida and well inland.
Fox meteorologist Janice Dean says hurricane warnings stretch up to Orlando. Ian is forecast to hit Florida sometime this afternoon, someplace between Sarasota and Fort Myers Beach, where Fox Weather's Robert Ray is.
The big issue here is the storm surge. Where I'm standing right now, here later this morning, expected potentially 8 to 12 feet of storm surge. We need to get out of here at some point, and we're monitoring that.
More than 2 million people under evacuation orders along the Gulf Coast.
It's the first time. Never this situation for the family.
And she is in Polk County. Ian will dump more than a foot of rain in some areas. Could spawn tornadoes. It already did last night, flipping small planes over at an airport in Broward County. North Korea has done it again, firing yet another missile test, on pace for a record number this year. That according to South Korea, where Vice President Harris will visit tomorrow. Today, she went to a U.S. Navy base in Japan focused on China.
China used Speaker Pelosi's visit to Taiwan as a pretext for an unprecedented show of military force.
Russia got its way in four regions of Ukraine taken over during the invasion and referendum voting the U.S. called a sham. More than 90% of people approved becoming part of Russia, where protests continue over leader Vladimir Putin calling up reserve soldiers. Fox's Trey Yingst.
Reports indicate more than 250,000 men have fled in recent days to avoid getting sent to fight.
We, like many others, fear that against our will they could draft us to go and kill peaceful people in another country, in Ukraine.
America's listening to Fox News.
The global economic group headed by China and Russia, called BRICS, is dedicated to challenging the dollar. This means the dollar will be further damaged, and along with it, the purchasing power of Americans. This is Stephen K. Bennett. I want to remind you that you can still protect your hard-earned savings from world events. How? By diversifying your 401k or IRA out of paper assets and into physical gold IRA from Birch Gold Group. To claim your free info kit on gold IRAs, simply text the word PROTECT to 989898. It's critical you get this information before the dollar is further eroded and you lose even more of your hard-earned money. So text PROTECT to the number 989898. That's PROTECT to 989898 to get your free info kit on gold. There's no obligation or purchase required. Take action today.
Another Capitol rioter is in prison. Kyle Young from Iowa got a 7-year sentence for storming the Capitol January 6th last year, and he's already pleaded guilty to assaulting a police officer. Young apologized to that officer in court. They're trying to keep the government funded in Congress.
Both sides of the aisle want to prevent a government shutdown that no one wants.
Then his Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell before a procedural vote last night to move the bill forward.
West Virginia Democrat Joe Manchin pulled a provision to speed up approval of energy projects from a short-term spending bill, Manchin's proposal, agreed to by Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, faced opposition from members of both parties and threatened to stall the stopgap funding bill needed to avoid a government shutdown Friday night. The spending bill extends current government funding into the middle of December. Schumer says he will continue to try to pass permitting reform by the end of the year. On Capitol Hill, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
On Wall Street, stock futures down modestly the day after the Dow dropped into a new low for the year, losing 125 points, but the Nasdaq rose 26. In baseball, two teams clinched division titles, the St. Louis Cardinals with a win over Milwaukee, and the New York Yankees, who still have a slugger chasing history.
Yankees outfielder Aaron Judge hit home run number 60 a week ago and has been stuck there since, one homer short of Roger Maris's American League record. Part of the reason is teams have been pitching around Judge, and that was certainly the case Tuesday against Toronto. No homers, but four walks for Judge in New York's 5-2 win. With the victory, the Yankees clinched the AL East title, their 20th division title in franchise history.
That's Fox's Eric Messersmith. New York's other team, the Mets, lost. The Atlanta Braves won. They're now tied for first in the National League East race. I'm Dave Anthony, and this is Fox News.
Your tough jobs, the really big ones, deserve a hard-working John Deere tractor from Sloan Implement. Right now, get 0% for 5 years and $1,000 off on a 5E series tractor. No matter the size of your work, the John Deere 5E is the perfect fit. And when you take a seat on your tractor, your land stands to benefit. 0% for 60 months. Some restrictions apply. See Sloan Implement for details. Offer ends 10/29/22.
This is Dominique Bates-Smith with your News Channel 20 weather forecast. Today, it's going to be sunny with a high near 63, wind gusts reaching as high as 15 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 41. For Thursday, sunny with a high near 66. Thursday night, mostly clear with a low around 43. And for Friday, it's going to reach 69 and going to be sunny. And your temperature in downtown Decatur is currently 43 degrees. And your WSOI news time is 6:06.
Good morning, I'm Kevin Burhaney sitting in for Brian Byers one more day. He'll be back tomorrow, but lots of great guests today. Sheriff's coming up, former sheriff, now commander.
Byers & Company, WSOY, 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
And good morning. It is Wednesday. Better here than in Florida. I can't say that very often because it seems like everybody from here is starting to head to Florida about this time of year. But they're going to delay their plans because there is now a category possible 5 hurricane. It is technically a category 4 getting ready to hit somewhere around Sarasota, they're saying now, but it's going to affect all the way up to Tampa, all the way down to Naples. It's going to be a historical event. We know so many people from this area that live down on Marco Island, Naples, all the way up through Holmes Beach, Anna Maria Island, into Tampa. And I talked to some last night. Some are hunkering down that are inland a little bit. Others are gone. They're in hotels somewhere around Highway 75, and it's scary. It's scary. I have former sheriff, now Deputy Commander Tom Snyder, in studio this half hour. He runs, along with some other great law enforcement gentlemen, the Macon County Law Enforcement Training Center. And then at the bottom of the half hour, Tom, I don't know if you know this or not, but Chief Shane Brandel will be here. And I really want to spend some time on Illinois issues with regards to law and order. But before I do, when you were sheriff, you were in charge of all the emergency management type things that goes on in a county. What are these sheriffs and leaders, political leaders, doing right now in Florida to prepare for this disaster?
Well, I can tell you that whenever it came to just the mere fact of a tornado watch coming out, as the sheriff, you knew that you were responsible for the alert system for the county. Therefore, all the people that are, of course, inside that county, you're responsible for. And so you take that very personal. You stay up late at night. You're working with your emergency management people. You're trying to make sure that, of course, everything that you would have in place. And I'm talking about that's just the normal run-of-the-day mill tornado watch, coming through central Illinois. Now let's look at a hurricane situation like that down in Florida. And you start thinking about not only the property issues, but the preservation of life. What contingencies do you have in place to be able to deal with something of that magnitude? And obviously, everybody's watching and trying to forecast. And when you start seeing some of the things increasing, like the Category 4, they knew that was going to take place. But they thought that, of course, it would diminish by the time it's hitting Florida, where it looks like it may be a little bit stronger than what they anticipated. So,
well, they're talking possible Category 5.
Well, yeah, when you said
that's 150 mile-an-hour winds.
The last thing I knew, it was a 4, is a 4, and was going to be downgraded by the time it got there. So, again, they start looking at a lot of the different models. And as a law enforcement administrator down there, I can only imagine what they're going through. And the mandatory evacuation is the most important thing that you can do in the circumstances where you can forecast the potential for something that's life-threatening.
Well, it's looking like Marco Island, mm-hmm. and Fort Myers is where it's going to hit, I guess, the center. And before last night, they were talking Tampa, wow. St. Pete, Clearwater. Boy, how many people do you know down in Marco Island?
Well, here's the deal. I mean, you and I both know some people that are down in Marco Island.
They call it Little Decatur.
I think of the Dawsonville, And,
yeah.
And then I start thinking about you, Kevin. And you got 3 or 4 houses down there, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. I do have one property on the Gulf on Holmes Beach, Anna Maria. And it was looking like the center, but it's going to get all the top part of that hurricane coming around with the storm surge. So our building, the lower level, will probably get wiped out.
I had a friend that had a place down there, and it actually got, and I'm trying to think about which hurricane it was, but again, major damage done.
But let me ask you this
about... It comes out of their pocket. A lot of it comes out of their own pocket.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the trauma that's going to go on in people's lives. Unexpected disaster hits you. Although, when you buy down there, it's a possibility. Mm-hmm. But it hadn't happened in 100 years in this area.
Yeah.
At least up where I am, down Marco Island, they just got hit a few years ago. But I worry about, or I wonder about, more than worry, about the law enforcement down in those areas getting everybody out. But they gotta stay safe. I mean, 150 mile an hour winds with 8-foot waves coming in, You can't be there. You can't be there to save lives. You got to move out until it's safe to be there.
Well, and here's the thing, Kevin. It's almost like here in Central Illinois, whenever we have blizzard-type conditions, we know that it's detrimental for our officers to be out there on the road just doing routine patrol. So we stay in a central location. We respond to emergency and or rescue type of calls. So I'm sure that they're down there. They're doing the same thing. They're located staging in areas where if they have to go out, they can, but they got to do it in a safe manner.
Okay, if you don't mind, I want to switch gears with you up. First of all, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here.
Yes.
6 o'clock in the morning, here you are.
Kevin, I pretty well fell where I looked at where I fell in regards to our relationship when you said 6 o'clock in the morning, not eight.
You're my number one guy. Well, you know, the thing is, Dom and I pull up at about quarter till. There you are already there on the phone. We were the first ones in. You're the last one, and you're still working on the phone.
My son's on the East Coast.
Oh.
And so him being on the East Coast gives me he's up a little bit earlier than I am.
Well, I bet here was your son and not already starting work.
Yeah.
But
well, I got to see a little bit of work on my way in. I seen Trevor Stolitz and David Daly and Mike Doniker and Ed Kopal out having, of course, the recruits running as I looked at
Rotary
Park at 5:30 in the morning. They're out there in their vests running. So that was kind of neat. Because I haven't seen that in a while.
Hey, let me tell you a cool story. I love doing this radio show because I get to tell all the stories I want, and my wife can't stop me. she texts me sometimes. Yeah. I was on my way up to Chicago probably 2 weeks ago, going up Highway 55. I got off in Morris, somewhere up in that area, to take a little break. I stopped in the Dairy Queen, and I walked in behind two police officers. And they ordered ahead of me and waiting for their order. I'm waiting for my ice cream cone. And we strike up a conversation. And I asked him, you guys been busy? He said, it comes in waves. And one's not old, but he was probably in his 40s. And a young guy probably in his late 20s. And all Kevlared up and got all the state-of-the-art equipment on him. And he says, where are you from? I said, I'm from Decatur. Heading up to Chicago for a golf tournament. And this young guy just spent how many weeks? 12 weeks here?
14.
14 weeks. I go, oh, you're at the training center. I go, yes, sir. And I said, well, what'd you think? He says, unbelievable. And it was a lot of work. And it is like, I guess it's like going through boot camp for these young guys. Mm-hmm. It's serious business. It's not a bunch of patting on the back. It is training them to be police officers. Or like going in the military in a way. But anyway, he was nothing but complimentary about the facilities, about the people, he talked about you. He talked about Ed. But I asked him, I said, well, you know, Howard Buffett is our angel in the community. The man has done so much for Decatur, Illinois. But what he has done for the sheriff's department and the police department in Illinois and in our county is second to no one. And that training facility is just one example. He goes, I met him. You met Howard? He goes, yeah. I go, what did you think? He goes, ordinary, very approachable, very nice. I said, you see his dog? He goes, oh my gosh, that dog walks on his heel everywhere he goes. He walks him out to the car. That dog is the most incredible dog I've ever seen. He adores Mr. Buffett. I go, well, so does the rest of the community, except for a couple dumb politicians, because the man has done more for Decatur and Macon County and now the world over in the Ukraine and Africa when it's needed. Just talk about how wonderful this man is. There's nobody that knows him in Decatur, Illinois, better than you do, Tom.
Well, and I appreciate you giving me an opportunity, and obviously we didn't set up for this, but I love the story you told about, of course, the recruit. It's not an easy time for recruits to go through any type of training, let alone some type of paramilitary, unless they've had a military background. So compliments to that recruit because, first of all, he called you sir.
Oh, he was sharp looking.
Called you sir. And that's what we teach them. We all learned respect at a very early age. I want to give you a quick story, and then we're going to get into what you just said. But I was coming out of the Cracker Barrel on Saturday, a young man, doors swinging shut. I don't think twice about it just because it's a push door. But all of a sudden, that kid turns around, grabs the door after he got like two or three steps away and says, sir, I'm sorry about that, pulls open and holds the door as I walk out. Well, first thing I thought was, that's not normal anymore. That's what we were taught when we were younger. You don't see a lot of that when it comes to some of the younger generation, and I'm not pushing on the younger generation. It's just you don't see it. The young man has a St. Teresa football shirt on. Okay.
Oh, how about that? Good deal.
And I'm like, you know what, young man, you've been taught the right way, I believe, to be his mother and or, like maybe a sister was with him. And I said, this young man was taught right. He will go far. What's your name, young man? And he told me, Elijah Wills. Here it is, the captain of the football team.
Good for him.
And I contacted Coach Ramsey because I know Coach Ramsey. And, of course, St. Teresa deserves to know what kind of fine young men they got coming out of there. That's where we go into the police academy. The police academy itself is set up to do just that. We serve the public. We want to make sure that they understand while they're in that academy that there's a bigger purpose. We want them to know the laws. We want them to know how to function, and we want them to be able to go home at the end of the night prepared. But we also want them to be able to serve the public like we want to be served. That place that Howard Buffett built down there started with a couple of buildings, and now it has grown to a
full campus. Where did the idea come from?
You know what? I'll be honest with you. It was from the Illinois State Training Board, initiated the idea, started with the University of Illinois Police Training
Institute. Yeah, that could have been in Champaign, right? Well,
and they wanted it there, but Howard said, I'm sorry, I don't build in other areas where I don't actually have my operations set up. So if you guys want something like this, you'll have to build it in Macon County. And then he started looking at Decatur when he started seeing available property, and that's whenever Romano had the property down there at that location, and it started there. And that's how it started. And it started on a napkin with Howard basically diagramming what he thought would be a nice facility to be able to meet what the requirements were for training at the time. And it all started from there. And now it has grown. And I wanted to say that last Tuesday, the following entities were training at that facility. You had federal law enforcement doing SWAT-type training. You had the Illinois State Police SWAT team doing some physical training. You had a ongoing law enforcement academy class with 74 in. You had the Sangamon County Sheriff's Office Correctional Officer Academy going in with 40-some. You had the Illinois Department of Corrections Academy with 105 on campus at that time. You had the Springfield Fire Department training at the fire facility tower. And
holy cow! How many people are we talking
about? That night, Hickory Point Fire comes in and does some fire training. At one point in time, there was probably over 300 to 350 people training on that academy. And obviously, there's probably a good 20, 25 full-time people training.
Unbelievable.
Yep. You just, what it does for the community and what it continues to do for the community. And they're like, well, what's going on south of there? Well, south of there, Howard made an area for a minority group that does not have access to athletic facilities to give them an opportunity. It's just, it's endless. And what does he want in return?
Nothing.
Absolutely.
But I'll tell you what, I don't care. I'm glad I'm not on social media, but I get all kinds of texts from people that show me things that are on social media. There are knuckleheads out there in leadership positions that will criticize Howard for their own political gain. And they just don't know that this is a human being. He didn't have to do this. And there's no reason in the world that if you're a political leader in this community, that you do anything but honor that man. And then you'll turn around and see them at the Devon and take advantage of all the wonderful things he's done in the community. It just drives me crazy. We're going to honor Howard in a small way when he gets back in town. Can't talk about it now because we want to surprise him. But a businessman in this town, Dan Brentlinger, came up with a wonderful idea out of the blue. Dan doesn't deal with Howard in any way, but he is a business leader, owns a funeral home, noticed something needs to be done to let this man know we really do appreciate and care for him. So he came up with this wonderful idea. We're going to unveil it in about a week or so. just to let him know, thank you, and please ignore the knuckleheads.
Yeah, and you know what? When you told me about what Dan had thought up as an idea, I got to tell you something. I've always had the greatest amount of respect for Dan. And then whenever you told me that, it's like, you know what? What a great idea.
It surfaced from the rank and file of the community.
He never asked for anything in return, so I never even think about it. But then again, when you
what do you think of the idea? Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's what I'm saying. Well, then you come out of the blue to do something like that. It's heartwarming.
I'm going to give you a tip, folks. It's something that will honor him and this country all at the same time.
Yep.
Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to invite the chief of police in with you, and if he could stick around along with him,
sure,
do the whole hour talking this. There's so many things to cover with regards to the future of policing in this community. And we have Dominic Smith behind the master controls and ready to give you the weather right now.
This is Dominique Bates-Smith with your News Channel 20 weather forecast today. It's going to be sunny with a high near 63, wind gusts reaching as high as 15 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 41. For Thursday, it's going to be sunny with a high near 66. Thursday night, mostly clear with a low around 43. And for Friday, it's going to be sunny with a high near 69. And your temperature in downtown Decatur is currently 43 degrees, and your WSOI news time is 6:26.
Ready to bank better? You got it. At Staley Credit Union. Just think. Better rates on loans and savings. All the technology of a big bank. Trusted in the community since 1930. And when you join, you actually own part of it, which translates into major membership benefits. At Staley Credit Union, you got it. Learn more at staleycu.com. This institution is not federally insured by Member Choice. Proudly insured by American Share Insurance.
Macon County CASA and Newhoff Media invite you to the third annual CASA Gatsby Gala, Saturday, October 15th at the Mount Zion Convention Center. This 1920s Gatsby party includes cocktails, cuisine, silent and live auctions, a little mystery, and a special performance by eclectic cover band Capital Sound, all supporting CASA's mission to advocate for local children who have been abused and neglected and are in need of safe, permanent homes. It's the 2022 CASA Gatsby Gala, and tickets are on sale now.
Visit MaconCountyCASA.org/events.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Sorry, folks, when I get the former sheriff and now commander and the chief of police in studio, you get into conversations and forget you got a radio show going on. And that the music went a little longer than probably should have. I'm Kevin Burhaney, sitting in for Brian. He'll be back tomorrow. He's taking some vacation time. I think Lindsay will be back to help him out tomorrow because Nick is still on, I guess it's called maternity leave for men, but he's dad's leave for the first week of his little girl's life. And he and Jen are doing great. It's my honor to be here. It is really my honor. I had to try to persuade these two gentlemen, folks, that being on in the 6 o'clock hour is not a demotion. It's a great hour of radio. And I know if anybody wakes up early, it's the cops. And so here you both are. You've already worked out. Shane, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Chief of police. Wow. Yeah. I got the two top cops sitting right here. And
I'm in the presence of law enforcement royalty here in Macon County.
I didn't see Jim Getz.
No, exactly. You had to bring that up.
Hey, explain that. I see Jim is now commander and you're deputy commander.
Yeah.
How'd that happen?
Well, he just, it was kind of an overthrow. He worked within, moved me out, and I just fell to the wayside. Nah, in actuality, I got short-term goals. He has long-term goals, and he is the perfect person to fill the shoes for Commander Tab Williams. Whenever Commander Tab Williams retired, I knew that it was not something I wanted to do for the next 5 years. Jim was actually the perfect one to be able to do it, and he's done an outstanding job, and I look forward to his vision in the future.
Well, Chief Brandel, you know Commander Getz pretty well. Did you move him out so he can move Tom out? I mean, how does that work?
No, certainly that was not the case. It was kind of sprung on me. As a matter of fact, I'm here on vacation, but the way that all worked last year was I was on vacation in July, and he calls me and says, hey, I'm retiring in about 30 days, and you're up. I'm like, oh, that's great. Thanks for the heads up.
I mean, honestly, we've always respected Shane and that, and the training that he has provided to Commander Getz is phenomenal. You did an absolutely great job. I'm very proud of what you've done with Commander Getz to get him where he's at.
It was a lot of work, but we got him there.
You know, I had an interesting conversation with Brian Byers last year, right before he retired, because I had invited Chief Getz on when I was doing this for Brian last year, and it was just after Chris Oberheim got murdered in Champaign, who was near and dear to all the senior police officers in this community because he was a Decatur cop before a Champaign police officer. And I wanted to talk to him about this qualified immunity issue that's been surfacing about taking that an immunity away from police officers, but no other politician. And normally when I used to have the chief on, like I am with you, Chief Brandel, he was always very measured, very, very calm. And he always knew he was holding back just a little bit because of his position. He was just saying exactly what you should say as a chief. Well, that day I had him on, and I hit a nerve with this murder of Chris Oberheim, and just fresh off the funeral, he let people know how he felt about this limited immunity, about this police reform bill that now is going to become law, and he did not hold back. And I was grateful. I mean, the passion that came out of this man's mouth, he was defending his police officers. Mm-hmm. And he told me, he says, look, Kevin, you can say the silent majority support us, but it's time they start becoming unsilent, because my guys and gals are under a lot of pressure, and it's only going to get worse with this police reform bill. And I was talking to Brian afterwards. Wow, should have heard the chief the other day. It was unbelievable. He goes, yeah, I think he must be retiring. Yeah. I go, what? He goes, well, for him to be that strong, he must be thinking he's got a short time, because he's not going to care how it's going to play with people who are not agreeing with him. And he didn't care.
Yeah.
So it was maybe a combination of both, because he did end up retiring. But it is a tough position you're in, Chief. At times, you've got to be a good public order. But other times, you're a police officer, and what you have to talk about is tough stuff.
Yeah, you know, there's a balance, and that's a reflection of society as well. You know, you have the police perspective, you have society perspective, and it's important that I think that you have some understanding of this, of both sides, right? And so my role isn't necessarily to push the law enforcement viewpoint, but it's to share the perspective. And hopefully that offers some measure of understanding to the public. Because, you know, we're not always going to agree, and it doesn't matter the topic. We're not always going to agree with each other, but if we can and work to understand each other, we can really do a lot more with whatever it is we're talking about.
Okay, let's take a break here. I skipped the news. And but we do have to do the break for the sponsors. We'll come back and we'll talk to Deputy Commander Tom Snyder and the Chief of Police here in Decatur, Illinois, Shane Brandel.
This is R.J. Crace with your stories now, brought to you by Shop on Main. The Decatur Regional Chamber of Commerce will host a business breakfast on October 12th at 7:30 to listen to leaders in Decatur's education system. The panel will feature representatives from DPS, Milliken, and Richland. The event will take place at the Decatur Club on West Prairie Avenue. The Illinois Department of Central Management Services has earned the 2022 Leading the Way Aetna Workplace Wellness Award. The platinum level, the award's highest honor, is awarded to employers who successfully create, provide, and support a healthier workplace for employees with effective programming, tools, and resources to help everyone on their personal well-being journey. If you visit our website, you'll be rewarded with more stories, podcasts, and videos. For instance, an emergency preparedness open house hosted by Ameren, Illinois yesterday. Stop by anytime. Our address, nowdecatur.com.
Take charge of the years ahead with a smart, sound investment strategy and business succession plan. UC Bank's business and wealth management experts help you envision your best future with powerful insights and proven strategies. Building business and growing wealth since 1868. UC Bank, proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
This is Dominique Bates-Smith with your News Channel 20 weather forecast, which is brought to you by Senior Insurance, a trusted insurance provider for over 40 years. Give Juliet a call at 217-875-0100. Today, it's going to be sunny with a high near 63, wind gusts reaching as high as 15 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 41. Thursday, sunny with a high near 66. Thursday night, mostly clear with a low around 43, and for Friday, it's going to be sunny with a high near 69. Your temperature in downtown Decatur is currently 43 degrees, and your WSOY news time is 6:36.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Things you learn in a commercial break when you have guests like this on. Welcome back, folks. This is Byers & Company. I'm Kevin Verhaeghe. Sitting in until tomorrow. Brian will be back. If you're just joining us, good morning. And I have two distinguished guests in studio. Deputy Commander Tom Snyder, former sheriff. How many years were you sheriff?
You're going to make me think. 10.
Yeah, a long time. First sheriff.
I had 29 on, going on 30 right before I left.
And the chief of police of Decatur, Illinois, Shane Brandel. Chief, how many years were you in the police department before you became chief last year?
24 and some change. So I'm coming up on 26 years now.
That's a lot of.
Look how young he looks.
I know.
And you always have 4 o'clock in the morning workout.
He just said in a commercial break that his daughter's an MP. I hope I can say this. She's in the Army.
Yep. Yeah, she's active duty in the Army.
And she's being deployed.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, she's being deployed over to Eastern Europe. She actually leaves today.
On one hand, you must be prouder than anybody in this town.
Yep.
On the other hand, you got to be a little nervous.
Yeah, as a parent. There's a different ring to that. You know, it feels quite different, you know, when you're sending soldiers over to do, you know, what, who knows what, right?
Who knows what?
Who knows what's going to happen, right? The Ukraine-Russia thing is really a unique thing, and that's what she's going over there for, to deal with, and I just hope that it goes well, obviously, but it certainly has a different feel as a parent.
Risk. Enjoyment or tolerance was running your family.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, she takes a lot after me, I think, and she wasn't ready. The thing is, she's such a good kid, and she just wasn't ready for college yet. And it's probably my fault that she's in the Army. We always told our kids growing up that, When you graduate high school, you got three options. You can go to college or trade school or something. You can go to the military, or you're going to get out of my house. One way or the other, you're going to do one of those three.
Yeah, I mean, sometime you have to.
Yeah, because I'm not going to be that parent that supports you when you're 25 years old as you sit in my, and live in my basement. It's just not me.
You know, I just had a conversation with my brother the other day. Two of my older brothers got drafted back in the Vietnam days, and neither one of them really wanted to go. They had to go, but they did. And they made the best of it while they were there. Yeah. But both my brothers will say, I really believe every young person ought to spend a couple of years in the service. And he says it's the best thing that ever happened to them. Even though it took 2 years out of their life, they learned discipline. They learned a lot about life.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, she was a typical teenager, and I think it's perfect that, because she said she wasn't ready for college, and I think that was very true. And this couldn't have been more of a perfect environment for her to grow up in, make some of those young mistakes that we all make, and do it there and come out a better person on the other side.
Well, Godspeed to her. Thank you. You're a great dad. You're talking to your son before we got on the air. He's out on the East Coast. People got to realize, and for trying to get involved after I got challenged by Chief Getz about the silent majority, I've gotten to know a lot of police officers in this community, sheriffs and Decatur police, some state. And I just want to tell you, these are wonderful human beings, and they all have families. And they're not, you know, they're public servants, but they are also dads and moms. And you guys know that side of your police officers. Most people don't give them that kind of empathy.
I think that's, yeah, you know, one of the big issues that we have, and especially in this time frame we're in, is I think people think we're robots and we're supposed, yeah, to be perfect and everything that we do, and we're human beings, and we have, you know, the feelings that everyone else has. And so when you are constantly, you know, telling us how horrible we are and demonizing what we do, I mean, it has a huge effect on your psyche, and then to try to recruit people into that environment is incredibly, yeah, difficult. And so this last couple of years has been, you know, probably the most challenging of my career, not just in a work sense, but just in an emotional sense.
Oh, then as the leader of all,
yeah,
these
and
people.
And then you're exactly right. And then trying to keep the morale the best that I can under the circumstances has been the most difficult thing I've ever had to do in my life.
And then, this is my topic of the week. I am exercised over this Safe T Act. Not that I have a right to be an authority on it, but it just doesn't make sense to me as a normal, ordinary businessman in the community. When you watch what's going on in New York, when you watch what's going on already in Chicago, why are you going to make it easier for criminals to get away with stuff? Like my daughter saw it in St. Louis, a shoplifter walk out of a grocery store with a backpack full of meat and food, and they did nothing to him because the police won't respond for anything under $1,000. They just let him walk out. This is crazy. And now the Safety Act is going to allow, according to some people think, aggravated battery, aggravated DUI, aggravated fleeing, arson, burglar, drug-induced homicide, intimidation, kidnapping, robbery, second-degree murder, and threatening a public official can all be released without bail if the judge wants. How does that make sense?
It don't. I'm going to tell you that we all work diligently to try to stop this from coming into law. We contacted a lot of our local reps. We may have had some representation, but I can assure you that there's reps out there that represent us that basically hid in the middle of the night. They hid from law enforcement administrators so that they did not have to hear what they knew was the truth. And their decisions that they made when they voted on that were despicable. And I can tell you that I guess that's the difference between when I was a sheriff and where I'm at now. I'll sit here and tell you that those individuals that supported this in the manner to which they supported it, I can't even bring up the words that I can express to let them know they made a mistake. They intentionally made a decision to stay away from law enforcement administrators and listen to the views that they had in regards to this bill. And I can tell you, I listened to Chief Brandel, and I've had nothing but the greatest respect for him. But then he talks about his family, and I know the effects that it has on when it comes to being a police administrator on your family. Hearing the story about his daughter, thank her for her service. Thank every military person for their service. But when it comes back down to it, this is additional stress that Chief Brandel has and all these other administrators because of the stuff and the decisions that these legislators make, and they do it for political reasons.
All self-inflicted by legislators.
Oh,
that was the other thing Chief Getz was saying. Was he blamed it on the Democrats. He just flat did. He said these Democrat legislators are throwing us under the bus. And now I paraphrase, but he was that direct about it. He knew what was in that bill. And I'd like to say, Chief Brandel, that that pendulum's going to swing the other way, just grunt and bear it until it's. But I'll tell you what, a bill like this doesn't show the pendulum coming back anytime soon.
Yeah. The thing is, I think that there was an opportunity to do I hate to use the word reform. I think there was an opportunity to put a bill together that really could have improved the service that law enforcement provides across this state. But I think the problem was is they were trying to take advantage of an emotional wave, and they had to get something passed. And then we figure, okay, we can fix it all later, right? Because there are, in my view, there are some good things in this safety act, you know, training for law enforcement, body cams. You know, some time ago there, you know, most police were, or a lot of police were against them. Well, now that they've been introduced into the environment.
They've helped you more than they've hurt you.
Oh yeah. All day long. And we saw a vision of that when we had to start recording, interrogation for homicides. I think everybody thought, why would somebody confess? You have to be coercing it. No, you don't. I don't know why people confess. They do. And it's the same way.
They're not very smart. Yeah,
it's the same way in the body cam realm. We knew what it was going to show. So even though there's reluctance, I think on the officer's behalf, because I mean, who wants to sit there and be recorded all the time? And I mean, it just feels weird. But once you get used to that, 95% of our officers say, I don't want to go on the street unless I got a body cam anymore. And that's just that's a national number. So there was good opportunity to make this bill really good. And the police chiefs association, the sheriff's association, the union associations were all trying to help with that. And instead we got something at 2 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the morning that nobody read. And it turns out that, okay, now we got to have three trailer bills. And then now we're walking into this coming January 1 with the most concerning part, on the whole bail reform thing. And I do want to add something on the bail reform. I do believe that there are inequities within the bail system and that there was, again, need for some reform. I think what they did, though, and how they did it is the problem. And now we're in the position we are where the offenses you mentioned, and I think where this is coming from is probationable offenses is the issue. And then now people are highlighting, hey, these are probationable offenses. Do you realize the problems that this is going to cause? And then one part of that that is the most concerning where judges are to consider bail or not, they can't consider the broader safety of the community. You have to factor a threat to a specific person, right? So how do you do that in somebody who just does random shootings or repeat burglars that we constantly get? Well, guess what? They're going to go in, and two days later, they're going to be right back out the door, and they're going to do it again. That is 100% going to happen. You see it happening all across the country.
What about domestic violence? If you bring somebody in, you got to get them out of that situation. They go right back.
Yeah. Well, in fairness to that, domestic violence is a misdemeanor, or I guess it even could be a felony, and bail would have applied to begin with, and they could have, if they had the means, be able to bond out. So I think, again, looking at that same situation in domestic violence where you had the opportunity to make a good impact, you miss the mark, right? Domestic violence is one, if I can use as an example, where you could actually say, hey, there is a specific threat to a specific person and we are going to hold this person. Okay, great. Now apply that broadly to the community. Now I can take that repeat offender, keep them detained. The guy that wants to shoot guns all the time and contribute to our national rise in violent crime and gun violence, hold them without bail. That's what we're looking for. Most police will tell you we're mostly concerned right now with violent and repeat offenders. Understand the low level offenses and things like that. No bail. There's a lot of inequities there. It doesn't seem fair.
And that was really the reason.
Yeah,
for it, right.
It doesn't seem fair that if I have the financial means to pay $1,000 bail that I can get out, but this guy's got to sit there in jail for a year. Understood. But again, I believe the legislators missed their mark, and failed to slow down. And take a good common sense approach to this, put the stakeholders in that conversation. Instead, they rammed through a bill that has so many problems in it. And then they've got to have trailer bills. They've already passed two trailer bills to fix it. They're working on a third one this fall. I'm hopeful. I think that's the word I want to use, is I'm hopeful that they will pass another trailer bill to kind of fix some of these issues that we're talking about right now. Or at the very least, delay the implementation so those can be fixed later on down the road.
I was talking to, we had Andrew Weatherford on Monday night. I got to stop for a break. We get going here, and I'm already blown through one. Let's double up, and we'll do not only a marquee coffee break for discernible coffee drinkers everywhere. The magic's in their beans, but we'll also do the weather with Dominique Smith.
This is Dominique Bates-Smith with your News Channel 20 weather forecast, which is brought to you by Senior Insurance, trusted insurance provider for over 40 years. Give Juliet a call at 217-875-0100. Today, sunny with a high near 63. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 41. Thursday, it's going to be sunny with a high near 66. And Thursday night, mostly clear with a low around 43. For Friday, sunny with a high near 69. Temperature in downtown Decatur is currently 43 degrees, and your WSY news time is 6:50.
Did you know one of the many ways the Community Foundation of Macon County supports our community is through grants? Hi, this is Rachel Moran, Director of Communications for the Community Foundation of Macon County, and I'm here to share that we are accepting applications for our Impact 100 grant from September 1st to October 1st. Each year, the Impact 100 grant supports nonprofit programs that build capacity and support individual and community well-being. This year's funding focus supports mental health, social enrichment, and engagement programming. Nonprofit organizations are encouraged to apply. The Community Foundation of Macon County and its donors are committed to strengthening our community and creating a better quality of life for all. It is through the generosity of our donors that programs like the Impact 100 grant sustain Macon County for generations to come. For more information on the Impact 100 grant, please visit our website at MaconCountyGives.org or call 217-429-3000.
Need some motivation to pick up those running shoes or get the bike tuned up? Just listen in to Ride and Run each Tuesday morning on Byers & Company. Kyle, owner of Fleet Feet, and Cole, owner of Spin City Cycles, will talk about how runners and cyclists are continuing their training, encouraging others, and sharing photos of their journey. Come in and shop at 1088 and 1090 Westwood, or shop online at FleetFeetDecaturIL.com or SpinCity.co, and listen in each Tuesday at 6:20.
I always wanted to learn Spanish, but I never thought I'd have the time. Then I discovered Babbel.
Babbel's lessons are fun. They only take like 10 or 15 minutes, and in 3 weeks, presto, you're speaking another language, like magic.
I love that Babbel's lessons aren't just robots talking. They're voiced by native speakers, so you get the pronunciation just right.
If you want to learn a language, there's no faster, easier, better way than
Babbel.
Babbel.
Babbel. Go to Babbel.com to try for free. That's Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
There's no 9-to-5 for a contractor. At Menards, we're right there with you. We open early to serve working pros like you. Menards has the largest selection of building materials, tools, commercial supplies, and home improvement products for contractors, with enough stock on hand to get your job done today. So if your 9-to-5 is more like sunrise till the job is done, we'll be ready for you at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
squash your fitness goals at the Decatur Indoor Sports Center. For a limited time, you can renew or join the DISC's full facility annual pass, and you get discounted rates with no joining fee. The DISC offers a fitness center, indoor soccer field, four-lane 200-meter track, basketball and volleyball courts, indoor golf center, and batting cages. Join today and squash your fitness goals this year. Give them a call today at 217-429-3472, and you can take a tour of the Decatur Indoor Sports Center in Decatur.
Now more than ever, it's imperative that our community stays informed with the latest news updates. Thanks to Hickory Point Bank, you can listen to the live regional information on WSOY via your phone, your tablet, computer, or on your Echo device. Hickory Point Bank reminds you to support your local businesses as much as possible during this time. Stay safe, stay informed, and keep up to date with WSOY's live stream anytime, anyplace. Brought to you by Hickory Point Bank. Invested. Member FDIC.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Welcome back to Byers & Company. I'm Kevin Burhaney, sitting in for Brian. Yes. Brian and Lindsay will be here tomorrow and Friday, and I think Nick will be back next week. I'm just guessing. But they're both missed. It's a great opportunity for the community to find out what's going on in Decatur, the Byers & Company show, because I'll tell you what, when I do this show and I call folks to be my guest, I very seldom get a no. And I'm going to the top and working my way from there. City manager's here. The chief of police is here right now, Shane Brandel. The former sheriff is here. And the only reason why the current sheriff isn't is, Tom, I've known you seems like all 10 years of being sheriff, and you've done so much good, and now you're running that Macon County Law Enforcement Training Center with Chief Getz. I mean, you're just a good get and a really good guest. And both of you together, I just say thank you. I'm very grateful for you being here.
Yep. No, we appreciate the opportunity. You know that, Kevin, and we have we've had a long-term friendship, but a lot of it comes around, of course, it centers around community service and what we do out in the community. And, Kevin, you have been an absolute unbelievable individual when it comes to what you've done for this community.
Well, I appreciate that, but you have no idea how much people like me out there that run businesses and that want a good community, how grateful and how much we respect your police officers, deputies, police officers, state police, are they still called troopers?
Yeah.
Troopers. So.
Actually, they're called municipal police officers and deputies, too, because that's the majority of them.
Yeah, that's where they're stealing from us now.
Oh, you scared me. I wasn't sure where you were going with that.
No. There's just heavy recruitment.
They dig each other a little bit.
A lot of the city police and county police are going over to the state police.
Aha. Uh-huh. And so you train them, and they get them.
It's a treat. You know, I do want to add something real quick, and I'm thankful to be on the show today with Tom.
Yeah, you're on vacation. Jeez,
yeah, Tom has been one of those people in law enforcement in this community that's been wonderful to be around. So I appreciate being on here with you, and you've been a great friend over the years, really.
And some of the top police officers are out there at that academy now that have been retired and come out of retirement that help train the new young boots.
Yeah, it's nice that we do have some of our officers, either retired and even active officers, that go out there and help train the new officers. So it's really, really a good environment for us. And I'm also thankful to always be on the show and to represent. I don't come here speaking for myself. I speak for the entire Decatur Police Department, the men and women there, and I'm their voice, man. I try to be out there and do that, and get their voice out there so they can be heard as well.
They got to keep Shane for many, many years to come, because he's the type of guy that somebody's going to try to grab him up at a larger level. So we got to keep you, Shane.
Well, I mean, you know, when you come the top guy, you're in demand. And that's the American way. So serve out as much of your term here as long as you can. And I wish you nothing but the best, like Chief Getz and you. I mean, boy, there's just so much admiration for you that I don't think you, like you say, to keep the morale up. Yeah. How do your police officers really know that? Well, buy them a lunch. You won't tell them not to take a. They don't even know they're getting a free lunch till it's over anyway.
Yeah.
But at Doherty's, a police officer walks in there. If I'm there, they're getting a free lunch or dinner. Just a way to say thank you.
What time, Kevin?
Well, I'm usually there about 11:30. But, you know, I'll just open up a tab and just say, put it on the Brahini tab.
You know,
and Bryn's wonderful over there.
I will say that with Decatur, and we talk about this all the time, where Decatur is really unique in the sense that we have huge support for law enforcement. What Chief Guest mentioned on the whole silent majority thing, that was a real thing, right? We knew that the silent majority was out there in support of us, but they were being silent. And that was the time we needed them to be loud on our behalf. And I will say that pendulum is definitely swinging. I mean, I can't even drive home generally anymore without somebody just stopping next to me, honking and telling me thank you. So, you know,
that's going to help, right?
It does. It absolutely does. And I know that it's easier for me just because of the role I'm in and the spots that I'm in, but it's not so easy for the guy that works midnight shift and is out at 2 o'clock in the morning. And the only thing that they hear are those negative, you know, comments and stuff. So, when
the city
you do
manager
see
was on the other day, and he says the abuse
that
some of the police officers have to listen to. And most people would not tolerate.
Right. And they don't. Most people don't. They walk away from it, or there's a confrontation from it. And the officers have to be the professional ones. They are the ones that are out there to perform the duty to serve their community. And unfortunately, they have to deal with that. And there's ways to deal with it and the ways that we talk about it. I'll give you a blunt one right now. It's kind of funny. I tell them that, you know, say all that you want to say, but just do it in your car.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I
get
do
away
that.
From it.
The
professional.
With the mic off.
With the mic off, yeah. Be the professional when you got to be a professional, right? And then you're a human being. That is going to affect your emotions, and yep. I get it.
I do that on the golf course, but I do it in my
exactly.
hat. You know?
But do it the right way.
Man, we're out of time. Gosh, I got so much more to say. Talk to your politicians about this Safety Act, please.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.